In Jesus' name, yes. So let's, those of you who took notes on that, you can find that in your notebook. And let me get, that was on a Sunday, two Sundays ago. And let me get myself together here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, so we're teaching on goals. So we have goals or plans or and or objectives, you know, things that we kind of put forth in our lives. We started out that teaching by asking the question, what are your plans for your life? And we were talking about how that question has been asked, especially when we were younger. Your teacher might have asked you, especially if you were a wayward child and like myself and needed some direction, you know. Mr. Harris, where do you see yourself, you know, and what are your plans for your life? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I've heard people ask that, 10 years. I told you that I was asked that question when we began this ministry in 2000. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And the answer for me was easy. Where I see myself in 5 years is doing the will of God. That's what I, that was my response to that pastor. And we have to realize that goals and plans and objectives have a lot to do with purpose. So goals, plans, and objectives have a lot to do with purpose. Purpose. And purpose then has a lot to do with intent. Intent. Aim. You can put in their motive. You can put in their outcome. So goals, just a raggedy right, I know, A-L-S, has a lot to do with purpose. Purpose has a lot to do with intent, aim, outcome, motivation, and so forth. In other words, you don't just set a goal, just set a goal. There's a purpose behind you setting that goal. Then your purpose then involves, what's your intent? What do you want to get out of it? You follow what I'm saying? And then intent, aim, and outcome, we said, has a lot to do with the, I'm going to write this word in red for the book stand out, has a lot to do with the why. The whole thing behind this. Why this goal? What's the purpose behind this goal? What's the intent, the aim, the objective, the outcome, the motivation for this goal? Why this goal? Then we then said, as Christians, the why should always be to glorify God. Should always be that. As Christians, that should be the why. Never to increase my socioeconomic standing, to increase and better my status. If I could tell on Sister Landa, which is a powerful testimony, that, you know, she wanted to go back to school, go back to college. But then the Lord begins ministering to her about what was the why behind that? Just to say you got a degree? As Christians, every single goal / plan or objective, in other words, that which we set out to do, should always be to glorify God. And if you don't know this, this one here won't be the objective. It'll be, oh yeah, by the way, maybe. But our first thought is us. I'm going to get a degree because I want to do this, I want to do that. Or I'm going to get a second degree. Or I want to get this job. I want this raise. I want to move from, you know, from the whatever into management or middle management. I want to live here. I want to get these shoes, this car. The why should always be to glorify God in everything that we think, speak, and do. In everything that we think, everything that we think, everything that we speak, and everything that we do. Amen. And we say those three components make up our lifestyle. So in other words, our lifestyle ought to be to glorify God. Now, I have here in my notes here, if we start with the why and then work our way backwards to the intent and then further back to the purpose, I think we can see that our goals and our plans will probably change, and for some very dramatically. So we start here, work our way back to the intent, the aim, the outcome, work our way back to the purpose. And we said, wait a minute, if our why is to glorify God, and you work your way back to the goal, you're like, well, you know what, that's not my goal anymore. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm trying to do that for me. I'm trying to get some status. I want somebody to give me some properties. Some of us still got high school on our mind. Ain't nobody paying no attention to me in high school. You're going to pay attention to me now, too. And God is saying, oh, you my child. You just can't roll out there and do things like that. Not anymore. You lost that right. Remember, we talk about that all the time. You have the ability, but you lost the right to do that. Well, what do you mean by that? 1 Corinthians 6, 4, he says that we were bought with the price. And as black people, we don't want to ever talk about slavery, but hey, I didn't choose that metaphor. The Holy Ghost did. He says we were bought with a price. That's slave talk. Then he said after that, you are not your own. You don't belong to you. So you lost the right to just haphazardly, capriciously, just pick out goals, plans, and objectives without understanding that if this is the aim of it, the why of it, then you need to cancel all of that. He lost that right. I challenge you that whatever goals and plans and objectives that you have had in your life for years or for 5 seconds, start here and work your way back and see if you're going to keep that goal. I challenge you.
5 seconds, yes, sir.
Start with, does this glorify God? Is what I'm planning, or is what I'm, my objective or my goal, is it going to glorify God? And you change that. What does that sound? Is it that? You can, somebody just unplug this right here, fella. You mind unplugging that? Thank you. Yeah. Sorry for the interruption. You see, if the honor and the glory of God aren't the why of all that we do, then more than likely, our intent, our purpose, and our goals are probably off base. You turn that one off too. Sorry. Don't want to say that again. If the honor and the glory of God aren't the why of all that we do, then more than likely our intent and our purpose are probably off base. Well, let's put some scripture to that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31. All that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 31. So then, whether you eat or drink, or whether you, let me slow down a little bit. Yeah. Is that good? Okay. So then, Ms. Palmer, let me wait. Okay. So then, whether you eat or drink, comma, or whatever you may do. So that's not something I just made up. There it is right there. Do all for the honor and glory of God. Wow, there it is right there. In Scripture. And I still trip over the words, the two basic functions of eating and drinking. That's purposely and strategically placed right there in that verse. Because he's saying even the most simplest things of life, you ought to even do that for the glory of God. I'm just drinking water. Drink for the glory of God. I'm just eating some Fruit Loops. That ain't got to do nothing with nobody. He said, eat or drink. So whether you eat, whether you drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen. So this is your why has to be here. This is your why. Look at another one. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For me, becoming a pastor and learning this right at the same time first starting out has cleared up a whole lot of things. Because young pastors come in to ministry with all kind of grandiose ideas and schemes. And I want to do this, I want to do that, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. And Pastor DeJuan, my man, he was one of those. You know, he's 30 years old coming in. I want to do this, want to do that. I said, you know, big fella, let's have a seat. Let's talk a minute. What is God saying? Are these plans and goals and objectives that you're kind of coming up with? You can come up with them and try to slosh, you know, God over it. You know, you can take chocolate and put it over liver. It's still not going, this ain't going to work out. How much chocolate you put over that liver, they're not going to make the liver taste any better. In fact, you might throw up quicker. You just can't do that. You can't say, okay, this is God. No, seek the Lord. Look at Proverbs 3 and 6. In half of your ways. Aww. Yeah, all. Every single one. Acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He'll do it. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. That's guaranteed. So you give all of this to him and he'll direct it. And if he's directing it, going to bring him glory. So everything you do, everything, those two verses here, whatever you may do and in all your ways, that's comprehensive. Everything you think, speak, and do is to honor God. Now, you know, we fall short of that in a mighty way. In a mighty way. Just thoughts alone. I'm sure that probably everyone in this room has sinned this morning in thought alone. Just in thoughts alone. I'm not talking about what you ain't never said. You never said, you never did anything. But just thought it. Does not God comprehensively know every single thought that you think? Amen. He most certainly does. And Father, we repent of those thoughts that didn't bring you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. The word acknowledge, look at that word. Let's take that word apart. The word acknowledge in the Hebrew, as one commentator said, it is not a mere theoretical acknowledgement that is meant here. In other words, I know God is here. I acknowledge him in theory. But not actually. That's not what he's talking about. I run into drunk people that acknowledge God. Excuse the rerun example of the hairdresser who will tell you that God delivered her from crack cocaine. Will tell you that without any hesitation and will firmly tell you that God delivered her and did say, and will tell you nobody else could do it but God. Amen. But she would not go nowhere near church. Nowhere near. He said, that's not the kind of acknowledgement I'm talking about. This is not a theoretical acknowledgement. It is an earnest, penetrating cognizance, meaning you are deeply aware, a deep realization, penetrating knowledge and perception. And this knowledge is so thorough that it engages the whole man, W-H-O-L-E. The entire inner being is acknowledging with deep penetration who God is. Still defining that word in Hebrew, acknowledge. It further means to concentrate the whole inner life on the active contemplation of God. Active contemplation. Contemplation means thoughtful observance, full or deep consideration, reflection. You're not just casually thinking about God. You're not casually acknowledging Him, but there is thoughtful observation, full and deep consideration, active reflection that this God is the one I need to acknowledge because He's my Father, He's my Lord, He's my owner, He's my Master. And I want to fully acknowledge Him and check with Him before I do anything. I think when you put it like that, we don't do that either. Some things, but not on the mundane thing. Well, we would appear to be, oh, ain't no big deal if I do this. Oh, it's no big deal if I walk over here. It's no big deal if I see this movie or go over here and talk to this person. Never say that, word of life. Never say that, my brothers and sisters. It's no big deal. Make everything a big deal. Make everything a big deal. I'm quite sure Eve thought it was no big deal just to take this fruit. No big deal. It's a big deal. Remember, He's the most subtle beast of the field. Yes, when things come to you and they look like this, no big deal, you can best believe that on the end of that, there's some problems down the road, especially if it's not in God's will. So again, acknowledge means to engage the whole man, to concentrate the whole inner life on the active contemplation of God. And lastly, and the ready observance, which means to follow, obey, and conform to His will. So it's not just acknowledging Him, okay, there's God, but it's deep contemplation and a ready observance to follow, obey, and conform to His will. Now, if you go back and read that verse now, in all your ways acknowledge Him, wow, that's really deep. Yeah. Acknowledge Him. Yeah, Lord, You're here. I understand that. I'm fully contemplating this, and whatever You say, I'm going to be ready to do. When the Lord said, you come in with that attitude, He says, and He will make your path straight. I'll guide you wherever you need to go. I got you. Now, what we have to do, though, is bow down, because where He guides may not be where we had planned. It may not be what our goal was. You understand what I'm saying? So you see why this changed if you flip it this way. Because I would have never went to Blanchett Middle School. Never, Miss Mealy. Ever. I told the Lord I ain't never going back there. I subbed in there one time. And I told the Lord I ain't never going back up in there. These kids crazy. I won't mention no name because it might be somebody's cousin up here, so I won't mention no name. Because I grabbed this dude and I put him on the ground. Woo! It was terrible. I said, I'm never going back up in there. That was 89. 91, I was back up in there. For 9 years after that. And it was worse than when I left it. When I said I'm not going back up in there, it was worse 2 years later. Did not all this change? Sure. Let's look at another one where God, because God is he's gangster like that. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's see how the Lord does that. Glory be to God. Acts chapter 9.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Make your plans, goals, and objectives in pencil, right? And give them the eraser. I say Acts chapter 9. Okay. Now, Saul, yet breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Isn't that something? This guy was angry. He was violent. What was his goal? What was his plan? What was his objective? To destroy the church, person by person, by person by person, saint by saint. To kill them, jail them, torture them, beat them, whatever, get them out. They belong to this new thing called the way, which is what Christianity was called when it first began. He went to the high priest and asked for letters from him, the high priest, to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to, there it is, the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Acts chapter, did somebody ask a question? Yeah, Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. I read verse 1. I'm sorry. Okay. So his plan was to bring Christians bound back to Jerusalem. That was his plan. And by the way, I'm going to also kind of digress into salvation too. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting who? Me." I know you know this, but Jesus was where at that time? He was in heaven. But do you see how closely he identifies with his church? See, you're persecuting me. You're going to whip up my people. That's me. Why? It's because they're my body. Remember, we are God's body on earth. You might got some water for her? Okay. We're God's body on the earth. And so he says, why are you persecuting me? Sounds like a change of plans is coming, isn't it? Let's keep reading. And Saul, verse 5, said to Jesus, "Who are you?" But look what he called him. Lord. Wow, that's something. So why not just, "Who are you?" But he called him Lord. I believe, in my opinion, that at that moment, before he uttered that, that the Lord had raised his spirit from the dead. And his spirit, spiritually speaking, there was a resurrection that went on. And his spirit was now alive, and he referred to him as Lord. Because Lord automatically means what? Master, owner. And then that means if you're acknowledging Jesus as Lord, what are you all calling yourself? His slave. His loyal subject. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." There he's making it personal again. "But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So they even heard the voice too. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was there, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Sound like a change of plans here. God supernaturally intervened. Now, that was the grace of God that did that. Let me quickly go into this. That was the grace of God. God did not owe that to Apostle Paul or Saul at the time. He sovereignly chose to grace him that way. You may not be so graced. He might just let you go on your way, doing the wrong thing. So we need to make sure that we obey Proverbs 3 and 6 and acknowledge with deep contemplation, with readiness to obey him and our everything that we do first, so that then he can direct our path. Does that make sense? Amen. Don't go on, but God did that for Paul. He'll do that for me. Let me just go on and do something. No, he may not. He may choose to exercise his sovereignty and let you go on your merry way, knowing what's going to happen at the end of this situation. All that glitters ain't God. Remember that. Rather than being ain't gold, it ain't God. Look at, speaking of acknowledging him with our whole entire inner being, look at this in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 28, Mother Chronicles, not Corinthians. Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. Okay. As for you, okay, all right, yep. If I'm going too fast, just raise my hand. Chapter 28 and then verse 9. Good? Okay. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. And again, that know is that intimate, personal knowing. Not just a casual to just know it up here. It's to be intimately acquainted with the God of your father. And serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. That's the insides. It's not the mere theoretical external acknowledgement. It's an inward acknowledging. With your whole heart and a willing mind, you ought to serve him. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thought. So you might as well acknowledge him. Well, look here. We said this here. When you set your goals, plans, and objectives, there's a purpose behind that. When you have your purpose, there's an intent behind that. And then there's the why of all of that. The Word of God is telling us here that the Lord understands every intent of the thoughts. So since he does, you might as well acknowledge him. Because he knows the intents of our thoughts even better than we do. That's the key. Amen. You can think this, but God is saying, no, I know better than that. So come to me. I'll hook you up. May not be the way you want to be hooked up, but it's going to be the best thing for you. Amen. I would have never chose Blanchett, but I thank God that he did. Because it made me grow up. When you're in hard jobs and hard situations, you're under micromanaging bosses for 15 years like my wife. There's great growth in that you would not have had you not been up under that. Mm-hmm. Pressure is what makes character. Fire is what creates the diamonds and the purity of the gold, rather. Mm-hmm. That's just real. Do we make plans? Getting more and more practical. Yes, you do make plans. But make them with the acknowledgement and the honor and the glory of God in mind. Do you make plans? Yes, you make plans. But when you make them acknowledging God, acknowledging his glory, acknowledging his honor in mind as you make your plans. Yeah, you make them. I'm not saying don't make plans. But as Christians, this is all to be the why. Make that in mind. Well, Lord, I want to do this, You know, I'm not sure if it's glorified you or not, so I'm not going to act on it real quickly. So help me to get this thing right. I want to get a house. I want to get a job. I want to do this. I want to do that. But I'm not sure if it brings you glory, so I'm just going to wait for you to, you know, I want to acknowledge you in this, and I'm ready to obey. If I need to throw this plan out forevermore, don't ever have this goal rather out, no ever happen anymore, great. But I want you, Lord God, to lead, guide, and direct me. Brother, you're going to be all right. You go in there with that real intent of wanting, really, really wanting him to help you, to guide you and direct you, you're going to be all right. You make your plans, but make them with the honor. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. The plans of the heart belong to man. You see that? Man makes plans, but they're the contrasting conjunction. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2. All the ways of man are clean, in his own sight. But the Lord weighs the motives. So you make the plans, but God weighs the motives. And believe me, his weighing of the motives is a lot more accurate than when we weigh our motives. Because he just said that the ways of man are clean in his own sight. It looks good to us. Oh, that sounds good. And I just got to be real with my sisters up in here. How many times has it led us into great pain and agony? Because bruh man looked good from the outside. And your plan was to holler at bruh man. And you see a few days later, a few weeks later, a few years later, wow, I just wish I'd have never seen bro man in my life. That's just real.
Yes, sir.
And I'm being real with it because it's led to a lot of, you know, single parents and families because the guy gone, he never was worth two dead flies. Look good. Please stop looking at the external. I'm teaching, I know, I don't even, you know, I break all the rules at school. Me and Sister Lana work together at Stark Brother Academy. I don't care, I talk about God all the time. I talk to them like they Brooke and Brianna. I said, please don't go for the external. There's a lot of good looking, no good men.
And women.
Okay, just hold on now. Let's take one at a time. This one at a time. Woo, Lord Jesus. So just don't be fooled by the external. Man, just, Lord, go to God. And not only that, the opportunity for this job looks so good. But you got to move. You gotta leave your church home. Is God telling you that? How many people do that? Oh my goodness. You know, we went to a real big church, Word of Faith in Southfield now. Big church, you know, at that time had about 15,000 members total, you know, in just here. And they had satellite churches like all over, you know, we won in London. Big church. The time and time again, you heard the people, I'm leaving, I'm going, this job here, that job there. Man, we would cringe. Why does the Lord tell you this? Because this is supposed to be more important than anything. The word of God is supposed to be more precious than all the riches in the world. We don't see it like that. Man, we see a $20 buck per hour. Man, we gone. $20? Dude, I'm gone, cuz. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why you gotta look like that, though, but you know. I'm gone, dude. I prayed on it. I prayed about it. Did you really? You prayed about it with the car running, bags packed, airline ticket in your hands, fella. You ain't gonna get that up. Ain't no way you're gonna lose all that money. You're gonna pray in the last minute. You didn't acknowledge Hebrew speaking. No, it was that theoretical. Oh, I'm going to do my duty and acknowledge God. Oh, I'm going, can I go? Good? Okay. That's why you get in a bad marriage.
The guy beats you, leaves you with the kids, nothing going on. Time and time and doggone time again. And that woman is there, left to pick up the pieces every single time. Because we did not do that. I'm talking about Christian women. I'm talking about Christian ladies. They didn't do this. And it's costly when you don't get this why right. When you don't get the why right, it's costly. You go down to that state, wherever, you get the job, but you're not being fed. Because that's not where God has you. Then the grace of God is not there on your side. He is still on your side, but he's there really wrath too, because of whom the Lord loves. He chastens. He punishes. He chastises. Amen. And so things go horribly wrong. He's telling all the time, I never told you to come down here. You're chasing dollars. I need you to be chasing after me. Amen. Chase me. Amen. Pursue me. Yeah, the ways are clean in his own sight. You ought to be scared every time you make a plan and you conclude with gavel-dropping certainty. Hey, this is right. You ought to be shaking in your boots. Why? Because he just said that the ways are clean in your own eyes. Just because you conclude that it's all right doesn't mean that it's all right. Amen. That's the part I want you to get if you take nothing else out of here today. Your conclusion is tainted, it's marred by sin, even though you're a Christian. But the Lord weighs the motives. Verse 3 is the answer to it all. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. That's the answer. Make your plans, but then commit them to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Remember, talk about rolling over. Roll it over. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, go down to verse 9. The mind of man plans his way. That's okay. But look at the contrast and conjunction. But the Lord directs the steps. We're planning our way and we're directing our steps. The bags are packed, the car's running. Tickets in your hand. You already made your steps. Does that make sense? You understand that, right? But did the Lord direct those steps? To direct you to pack your bag. Did he direct you to take the job? Did he direct you to buy the plane tickets? Man plans, but the Lord directs. Look at Psalm, the book of Psalm, chapter 37. Verse 23. Psalm 37:23. I always say that I'm convinced we're getting more out of this the second time. Mm-hmm. More understanding, deeper understanding. Psalm 37, verse 23. Cole Croft, let me know. Okay, thank you. The steps of a man, and by the way, in the Hebrew, that man is implied as a good man or a righteous man, are established by the Lord, and he, the Lord, delights in his, which is the good man's, way. So when the steps of a good man, a righteous man, are ordered and established, firm footing, the Lord is one who makes our footing firm. That's what established means in Hebrew. He's the one that makes our footing sure, the Lord does. Then the Lord then delights in our way because we're going the way that God would have us to go. I mean, the Lord is delighted, boy, you're in good shape. Amen. That's where protection comes. That's where guidance comes. That's where favor comes. Or you walk into a building and folks walk in and get a contract. What the world? I just walked in. Because that's favor. You're doing God's work. You're doing God's will. Doing things God's way. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter
19, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. This is so true of us. So true of us. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many plans. You good, Cobra? Okay. Many plans are in a man's heart. Mankind. Right? We got many plans. Sometimes we can't even go to sleep. We got plans going on. You're just running around, right? Over and over and over and over. Amen. God knows us. He made us. But look what he says, though. But the counsel of the Lord will stand. Every single goal, every single plan, every single objective that you have, the counsel of the Lord, you want to wash it, if you will, in the counsel of the Lord. Lord God, is this all right? Is this in your will? Is this what you want for me? And if my aim and my intent and my motive is not right, then the outcome is going to be jacked up. I need you, Lord. That's what, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Look at the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. kind of in that same vein. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. Prepare plans by consultation. Yeah, prepare your plan. Look at it, by consultation. Get some help up in there. And make war by wise guidance. I know this is talking about a general making war, but it's the same concept. You make your plans with consultation, and you make war, or another, make your goals, it says, by wise guidance. And what is the greatest, and who is the greatest counselor that exists inside of you? The Holy Spirit. He's already there. And then let him even guide you as to who to call to even get more guidance down here. Let him guide you. Don't you call the cousin that's going to definitely agree with everything you say. Because you want it so bad, right? Let me call Cousin Boo Boo. Hey, Boo, what's happening? I want to do this. Man, go ahead, dude. Man, I feel you. Man, I'm pulling for you. Yeah, but is that what you need to hear? That's why he doesn't say make war by guidance. He said wise guidance. Wisdom. Lord telling you to call Dante, the one you don't want to call. Because he always thinking it. He just don't give an answer like I be wanting to hear. Yeah, that's what you need to be calling. Wise guidance. Proverbs, same chapter. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. Same chapter, verse 24. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? That is simply saying is God orders everything. We don't understand how he does it. It's way beyond our way. It's way beyond us. I go back to me getting hired at Blanchett. The fact that the superintendent came and practically begged me to take that job, that was a mind-boggler because he was a very arrogant person. He didn't kowtow and beg nobody. Period. But when God wants something done and whatever way he wants to get it done, guess what? Everything gonna bend to his will. Everything, including the heart of an arrogant superintendent. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. You know this verse, but let it hear it afresh and anew. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. Mother, got it? You got it, Mother? Okay. Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. Thank you. All of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. That ought to cancel out all of this. Until down here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because in your own eye, everything is clean and pure. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Verse 5. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Own. Forget you. Make a plan, but don't trust it. Go to God. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. I hope you're getting out of this. Do not trust you. Amen. Make your plan, but don't trust you to carry it out. Hear him say it again. Make your plan. Make your plan, but don't trust yourself to just start walking and carrying it out. Let the Lord say, hold on a minute. You know what I'm saying? Make your plan, then go to God and say, okay, now, is this okay? Is this okay? Is that okay? So I hope you hear me. Make your plans. I'm not saying not to make plans. I'm sorry I'm beating but I want you to understand, I'm not saying that. What I am saying, let this be the new thing is, make sure you just bathe it in wise counsel from the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm saying. What did I tell you? Psalm 37? Yes. Yeah. Yep. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Your joy, your delight, deriving joy from is the Lord. And when the Lord is your delight, then he, the Lord that you delight in, will give you the desires of your heart. I teach that give you desire, meaning he will physically or supernaturally place desires in your heart and then make those desires come to pass.
Amen.
Because we are so jacked up in our, because of sin, our desires need some tweaking. We may desire this, that, and the other. God said, I need you to desire this and this. Mm-hmm. So he'll give you those desires, the ones that he wants you to have, and then make those desires come to pass. Mm-hmm. So instead of you asking for a Cadillac and a Jag and a mansion and status and fame, God said, I need you to desire some humility, mm-hmm. some wisdom, some perseverance to go through hard times, because they come in your way. Hard times are all spreading just like the flu.
Oh, yeah,
I thought, oh boy, don't let it get you. Glory be to God. They are going to come. Hard times are going to come. But you're not going to thank God for them if you don't understand what they, if you don't have a James chapter 1 understanding. He said, knowing this, that the testing of your faith, that's what's happening, is producing patience, perseverance, and endurance. So your desire may change. So I want perseverance in. Since I know I can't escape hard times, since I can't escape troubles, Job said, as sure as the sparks fly upward, a man born of a woman, his days are full of trouble. They're full of sorrow. Just as sure as sparks fly upward. When you hit an iron